Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there. It started out to be a rainy day, which is beautiful here in New England. Nice, clean, cleansing rain, spring preparation. People are starting to seed their lawns and rake, and buds are coming out of the ground, and you smell this amazing scent of blossoming. There's no other way I can describe it to you or put it to you in words. Woke up at 4:30 this morning and started my tea kettle to have my French press coffee and stepped outside, and the birds were so loud it took me back because there were no human noises, and it was a great experience and just a wonderful, exciting moment. I go and I open up my email, and I had this most beautiful letter from somebody who felt very inspired by me, and I couldn't be more grateful and humbled by the words that were written in this email. It started out my day as perfectly as perfect can be. Great day, great adventures, life is a mystery, and I love all the presents. I love waking up and exploring the new day because it's always different, it's always an adventure, and I'm so grateful that you're here to join me on that adventure. Amy will be a little late today. If she has a chance to pop on, she will be popping on. But today I have this fabulous, magical character who as well popped into my inbox randomly from a friend of a friend of a friend. Somehow we interconnected, and I never ask how connections are made because, quite frankly, it's exciting, and it's just meant to be. The universe lines you up the way you're supposed to be lined up, and this fabulous lady, Marilyn Carter, who's an author of one of my favorite topics, food, no fret cooking, and she has added a touch with her husband, Steve Carter, who is a graduate from Berkeley, and evidently he made music for the book, and I have yet to obtain the book, but I have this fantasy in my head that when you open the book, Marilyn pops out and makes this fabulous culinary genius dish, and the wine is poured, the candles are lit, and her husband is playing in the background right before a hot bubble bath. But she will fill us in to see if that really is the case, this magical book of music and food. Next week, who do we have? We are lined up until June, and it's pretty exciting. Some amazing people are coming on, so definitely stay tuned and go on to Facebook, facebook.com/celiacroads, and see the lineup. We have another author on, book Heaven's Child, and that's going to be an incredible, incredible interview as well, so make sure you tune in then. So, Marilyn, I hear you buzzing away in the background. Is it true? Is my fantasy true that when I open your cookbook, you're going to pop out and cook for me?
That's a great fantasy. I love it. I often tell people when they buy the cookbook, I tell them that they're taking my husband home with them so that they get to share his music too. So I should pop out too.
That's right. You pop out, that's the no-fret cooking part, and your husband plays the music, and those of us who are incredibly busy and would do takeout or pizza have this gourmet meal.
Yeah, not to say that on occasion we wouldn't too if we're busy doing no-fret events. You have to live, right?
Amen. So yeah. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do and why you do what you do.
Okay. I'm a holistic health practitioner. I worked in the traditional medical field ever since I was 15 and, got to see a lot about health and started thinking that there were other ways to approach health and wellness, and started reading, and then I started studying energy work and became a Reiki master, a Jin Shinjutsu practitioner, a few other things in my toolbox, but they all blend together. And then the the food aspect is fairly new, just past year and a half or so since we published the book, did I actually think, yeah, that's another piece too. So that's one way how the book came about, but actually it was a gift from the universe. As you were saying, how interconnections happen, this idea actually came to me literally from the universe.
Was it a dream, or you were walking down the street and you're like, that cosmic 2x4 hits you in the head and you're like, oh my God, I've got to do this. This is fabulous.
No, actually, it was quite interesting. It was the first time this had ever happened to me. I had just finished being on a rotation diet for food sensitivities that lasted for like 11 months, and I was standing in the middle of my kitchen looking outside at the beautiful sunny day, and I was all alone. There was no one in the house and no one around. We lived in a quiet neighborhood, and I literally heard, do a cookbook, and I'm like, that's strange, there's nobody here. And I'm like, really? And I heard, yes, do a cookbook. And I had no idea what that meant. I'd never really written anything before. I've always enjoyed cooking and, you know, trying new foods and new recipes and, you know, cooking for health for the family. So I was like, okay, I guess I can do this. but then had no idea really what that meant and what the focus of the book was going to be until I started to get into it.
So tell us a little bit about the book.
Yeah. So anyway, I, as you know, there's like a bazillion cookbooks, and there's all different kinds of diets and all different philosophies. And I really wanted a book that would really have something for everyone and be more about awareness and helping people to learn about other alternatives and figure out what worked best for them, because we're all unique and we're all different. And so it's kind of like a starter, but it's actually more than that. So for people who have never used, like, say, alternative flours, I have a section on it about different flours, lots of gluten-free. So that happens to be huge today. A lot of people are affected with gluten sensitivity, so the chapter talks about the different flours and what might you use them in, and various other alternative ingredients. So basically I call it something for everyone. So, you know, whether you're a vegetarian or whether you're gluten-free or whether you like raw, low sugar, you can find something in the cookbook. And my husband, he doesn't do any meat. And I've just done a tiny bit of organic. And so for a while, I was cooking two meals. So then I, like, kind of figured out how to bridge the two of them together, like make a sauce or something separate and then put his and mine. So it's kind of things like that in the book, that you can still have different views in the same family but find something for everyone in the book. The recipes are really simple. The print is large, which people like, so it's easy to see. And I like to, my philosophy is to allow people to experiment and go at their own pace. So, in other words, you don't have to start this whole program of change right away and doing everything. You can do little bits. So usually my suggestion for what I use might come first, an alternative, and then I might say something like, you could use quinoa flour or a flour of your choice. So that way that gives the people the flexibility and the ability to be able to take things at their own pace and explore when they're ready.
What was the most exciting part of the journey?
Oh, gosh. there's so much. I think really the help from the universe was really pretty exciting for me, because never writing a book before, I'm not an artist, I'm not an editor, although every time I read a book, it's like the spellings always just pop right out at me. But, you know, when you do your own thing, you need someone else's help.
Yep.
So, you know, just every time I came across sort of what I would call a stumbling block because I didn't know how to do it, I would just put it out there to the universe. Oh my gosh, I have no idea how to do this. I really could use some help. And it was so rewarding for me that all these people came forth. This is a self-published book. I did most of the recipes, but for foods that I don't eat, like, say, beef, mm-hmm. there's a lot of recipes my daughter has contributed. I needed an editor, and somebody just offered a good friend. You know, she was kind of out of work at the moment, and she loves to do her craft, and she just offered to edit the text. My cousin, who lives in Texas, offered to edit the recipes, and I tend to be a bit wordy, so she made them much more user-friendly, easy to understand.
Right.
And I had a lovely young artist who did the cover. She took the few ideas that we gave her, and she just ran with it, and it's a fabulous cover. We just love it, and everywhere we go, it just pops out at people. And the part about the publisher, I had no idea about publishing. And where this is a book and CDs, it's a little bit different because not every publisher does books. So I had another friend who had published a book, and she said, oh, I'll offer to do it in exchange. You can send my mom some distance healing. And I'm like, that's a great deal. So it was kind of like that. We, you know, there was a lot of barter, a lot of friendship, a lot of love and community and support. And I think that was, for me, that was the most special part of the book. And, of course, my husband, him trying all the recipes, making suggestions.
So he was your guinea pig.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He was a great
awesome.
One. And he's pretty good because he'll tell you if he doesn't like something, but there weren't too many he didn't like. And he's a great one, too, I'd say, because I really wanted this to be more than just a cookbook, too, more than just recipes and more than just your diet and philosophy, but I wanted people to have fun and to enjoy the process. So we came up with a bunch of the names of the recipes are kind of fun. They kind of make you smile when you see the name of them. And
give us
my husband, yeah, my husband came up with a lot of the names. He was very funny with them, and he can tell you more about that, too. So, yeah, I think just the universe and bringing forth all these wonderful, beautiful people to help me on this project. Very grateful.
What a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
What a blessing.
Yeah.
So give us your favorite recipe.
You know, people ask me that all the time, and it's like, you know, when you have, I mean, I don't know about you, but I have a bunch of cookbooks, and I might have three or four in each one that I really like,
mm-hmm.
and then I don't necessarily pay attention to the rest of them, but...
That's normal.
Yeah, and so in doing your own book, you tend to put together the recipes that you really like and the
mm-hmm.
ones that you think other people might like. So I have lots of favorites, but my ultimate favorite is Madagascar stew, and that's because my husband, who does not cook, when we first met, he's probably going to kill me, but he opened up a can of ravioli for me on one of our first dates. This is many years ago. And so when the cookbook came out, last Mother's Day, he actually cooked Madagascar stew from the cookbook for myself and my daughter for dinner. And it was delicious. So if he can do it, anyone can.
Okay. So what is in the stew?
It's really simple. It's vegetarian, and it's got Madagascar vanilla, which, you know, I make my own vanilla. You soak the beans and let them sit for 6 weeks in a dark cupboard. And so he used that. He used the sweet potatoes and carrots. And so I like to have a little greens in it. So I he probably used some spinach. And do you remember what else you did, Steve?
Well, there's the coconut rice that goes with it. That's a nice feature of the recipe.
Yep. See, he remembered. Maybe I'll get
Yay.
It this Mother's Day again.
High five, Steve, for you know, stepping outside of the ravioli can. Good job.
Yeah, I'll never live that one down.
I know. Sorry about it. But I had to show how you progressed.
Progression is good. Evolution is good.
It is. Absolutely.
So welcome, Steve, to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
So my vision, which you already heard my fantasy, but I'll give you my vision. My vision is she's in the kitchen kind of frantically trying to taste and put things together, and you're like, you know what, I'm just going to soothe the moment and be present, and you pull out your guitar or whatever, and you just start jamming while she's cooking, and that was my vision for your inspiration to add to her cookbook. How far off am I?
Actually, you're pretty much right on. I've always played and practiced in the kitchen or in the dining room next to the kitchen or something. But as time went on, for example, I wrote a whole CD of kind of meditative music a few years ago that Marilyn could use in her Reiki practice. And so when we have a kind of an open floor plan here where the kitchen and the living room and the dining room are all connected. So I mm-hmm. sit in the living room, and if she starts getting frantic, I start playing some of that the music from that meditative album. And if she starts getting bored, then I play some of the more upbeat things. So I try to control her mood. I often have to, you know, calm her down.
Yeah, he says, how's it going? I'm like, fine. Don't rush it.
Don't rush it.
Yeah.
So it's very cool that you guys collaborated on this endeavor. And food and music happen to be my two favorite topics. I'm a celiac, so, you know, high five to you, Marilyn, for including gluten-free in that. How difficult did you guys bump heads on occasion when it came to this collaboration? Because, you know, they're both very creative, and you definitely have to experiment. And I hate the word, but it's the only word that's popping into my brain, fail,
and
do it again and repeat, you know. How was that collaborative time period?
I think for me it was a great collaborative because I was doing my thing, and I would on occasion, we'd have dinner, and I'd be like, you know, I have this name, but I don't really like it. And all of a sudden, because he's very quick, a name would pop into his head, and we'd just start laughing, and I'm like, that's it. But other than that, I pretty much sat downstairs for months in front of my computer trying to put this all together when I didn't really have a plan at first. I was just gathering recipes, and, you know, I didn't even know which chapters, and I hadn't thought down the road about what might happen after. I was just, you know, on my mission. I'm supposed to do a cookbook. I'm going to do it.
Right.
And the only, I think, that I could say that we'd bump heads is Steve would come downstairs and he'd go, are you ever going to finish? Can we have dinner now? And I'd be like, oh, yeah, just one more minute.
Well, time when you're in that creative process and that thought process and your own self-pressuring, which I find, you know, we do innately, time just runs away from you.
Mm-hmm.
I got up at 4:30 this morning and I started working, and it was 9:30, and I'm going, wow, I got to make some breakfast.
Oh, my gosh.
You know,
yep.
So it just, when you're very focused in that moment and you're determined, I find...
Mm-hmm.
Time
exactly.
Escape. It's very
yep.
elusive.
Yeah, it is elusive. And I sort of had set my own time frame because the universe was saying, hurry up.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that when they were saying, hurry up, not that it had to be out, but I had to finish my piece because it was going to take so much more time for what everyone else had to contribute to it. So... I think that was the only thing is my own self-pressure, but I did complete it before when I wanted to. I think it was December of 2011, so that it was able to be published in the first half of 2012. So for me, I think that was the hardest part. But for Steve, I didn't ask him to do the music until I was probably halfway through. And then he's about halfway through his first CD, and I'm like, you know, we really need two CDs. It's not just music to cook by. It's music to dine by, too, after you get to enjoy. And he's like, okay, I can do this. But then he felt pressured to do his part. really quick so that we could get it out in a reasonable time frame.
So, Steve, give us a little bit of who you are, and aside from partner in crime and guinea pig extraordinaire, who is Steve? Who is Steve? What does he do?
Well, I'm a professional musician, and I taught guitar at Berklee College of Music for 25 years, and I've been working around New England for many years. I also taught English while I was at Berklee, and so when Marilyn was writing her book, of course, she wanted me to help with the writing and the editing, and I just kind of felt like I would leave it to her, and fortunately, our friends came in and helped her with the editing. We might have bumped heads, you know.
Yeah.
The English teacher in me is probably too strong. So it's
and I'm a pure Pisces.
Yeah, me too. I'm a great.
Are you?
I'm a grammarian's nightmare. I'm like, yeah, whatever, yo. Let's subjugate.
Yeah.
But Marilyn gave me the assignment of writing some music, and I had a couple of pieces that I kind of reworked. I had written a tune many years ago that I called Bubba Ganoush, because I was sitting and eating Bubba Ganoush one day, and I said, oh, that's a very rhythmic phrase, so I wrote a tune based on the rhythm of that phrase. In fact, my next album is going to be over the years I've written a series of compositions, and I'm going to put them together and call it The Many Paths of Bubba Ganoush, and it's kind of a story about an imaginary character and his adventures.
Very cool.
But I needed a lot of music. I wanted it to be all original music on both of the CDs, so that's where the recipes came in. For example, Marilyn makes a very good eggplant parmesan, and it's not breaded and it's not fried, so it's not heavy, and she needed a name for the recipe, so I came up with the idea of a lighter shade of parm.
Very cute.
I wrote a rock tune that's kind of a riff on the old lighter shade of pale. So I tried to match the titles and the recipes.
Mm-hmm.
And for example,
yep, somebody moved.
There's a recipe for a garlic cucumber, so I wrote a tune called "Cool as a Garlic Cuke." So we had a lot of fun with the titles of the recipes and the tunes.
Very cool. So what style? You mentioned rock. Do you have, you know, like a nice salsa mix in there?
Yeah, I tried to put a wide variety of music in. The first CD, the one it cooked by, is more upbeat and lively, so it's got some funk. There's a recipe called Pepper Poppers, so I wrote something that's kind of like Mexican music. There's an African dish, and I wrote something called Fra Diablo, which is a kind of based on an African rhythm. There are some funk tunes. There's Marilyn makes a recipe called Tropical Shake, and so I wrote a samba called Tropical Shake, and we were having an asparagus dish one night, and
I love asparagus.
She added capers to it. It was delicious.
Oh.
We have it all the time now. So I wrote a tune called The Great Asparagus Caper, which is a rock tune that's kind of a spoof on the theme to a an adventure movie or something like that.
Right.
And so, of course, I'm a jazz player. Yeah, I have a lot of jazz in there, too. A swing tune called Lunch is a Very Splendid Thing. And a jazz waltz called Better Than Fried Dough. So it's all food related, but there's a wide variety of music.
Uh-huh. That's great. That sounds like it was a really fun, creative process, and it doesn't get better than that.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And, of course, when we go out and do events, we have one tomorrow at the University of Massachusetts in Boston. And when we do events, she has her cookbook and she has some food samples. I don't think we'll have food samples tomorrow. But and I play some of the tunes from the cookbook. So it's an ongoing thing that I get to continue playing the music. So that's fun.
Very cool. So this is the best part of the show. This is when you get to, tell everybody where you are, how to find you, and where your book is?
It's in a lot of places.
Are you online? Do you have a website?
Yep, we have a website, www.nofretcooking.com. Also, Steve has it on his website, frogstoryrecords.com. You can find it with our publisher, Infinity Publishing, and books can be bought through them at www.ibuybooksontheweb.com. Also, it's in a lot of places in New Hampshire, the Herbal Path in Dover. It's at the Dover and Lee Library, Ripper Run in Portsmouth, Country Bookseller in Wolfboro, White Birch Books in Conway, and Gibson's in Concord. It's also in Massachusetts at Bestsellers Cafe in Medford, Bookends in Winchester, Patanac in Westboro, and the Natural Food Exchange in Reading. And it's even at the Midtown Scholar in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Wow, very cool.
In addition to Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Yeah,
very cool.
So,
very cool. So for all of the local folks out there, definitely stop by a local store. Herbal Path, obviously, is the most local to me.
Mm-hmm.
And love going down there. And Amy, my co-host, also has a office there, so while you pick up
nice.
The cookbook, pop
nice.
In and
That's
say hi
great.
To Amy.
Yeah, definitely.
But so there's no chance that when I open this book, and I won't do it in the middle of the Herbal Path because I'll end up breaking bottles, that you're going to pop out and make a culinary, I mean, the asparagus with the capers. Hello, you had me. Sorry, Steve.
You did
Yum.
Good, Steve.
Yum.
No, I'll have to work on my popping out skills.
All right. Come on, technology, darn it.
I know. Yeah, you never know what will be the next thing, right?
Yeah, well, the 3D is coming.
Yeah.
Definitely holograms are coming.
I know.
So we have about 28 minutes left to the show. Is there anything in particular that you wanted to really delve into?
The cookbook, it has over 200 recipes, and as I think I mentioned, it has little mini informational chapters in it. So I talk about the different flours, nuts, herbs. I have a very small chapter too on some of the alternative ingredients I use,
mm-hmm.
what they are, where you might find them, how you might use them. I also talk about organic and why you might want to buy organic. I mentioned you probably know about the Environmental Working Group and the Dirty Dozen,
mm-hmm.
how important it is to, try to have your foods with as least amount of pesticides as you can. And I think that's really important for us. Buying local, fresh, and just cooking from scratch and using lots of color and then just enjoying the process. I mean, cooking is really a very, it's like vibrational medicine. It's like what you put into it comes back to you. So enjoy the process. Cooking with the seasons is also great. There's a little chapter in there about cooking with the seasons, and right now it's springtime, so that's the time for the organs of the liver and gallbladder and
mm-hmm.
Sour foods. So you want to incorporate some of them into your diet. But the little chapters will help you that way. And, if you want to know more, I do have some suggested books in the back, too, that can bring you to more extensive information. But, this is like a good primer
mm-hmm.
for those that really aren't don't know a lot about alternatives or about seasonal or about, organic and want to get more into it, because finally the word is getting out there about the quality of our food and what's in it and, how we need to take control ourselves to better our own health. So
if I remember correctly, you're right down the road from me. You're not too far, just a couple of stone throws away.
Yeah, fairly close.
See, I grew up in Miami, so up here there's this this crazy concept. It was my 21st winter, so don't let me kid you too much, but I'm suffering.
Wow, what a
I've tried it 21
from
times.
Miami.
Trust me,
yeah.
I know. But there's this thing called fennels that people eat up here in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Did you make a recipe about fennels? Talk about
it. I actually didn't use any fennel. You know, when I was putting most of these recipes together, you know, it was a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I got into the project of working with the book and putting it together, I didn't have as much time to explore. So I didn't get into fennel until after I finished the book. And also I knew it had sort of a licorice taste, and I never really liked licorice. But let me
gotcha.
Tell you, fennel's delicious. and I wished I had gotten into it sooner. But, you know, there's always plenty of time. Yeah, and I do, for the things that I'm starting to get into and explore more, I do put some recipes out on our website, nofretcooking.com. I did a talk for the Concord Food Co-op, and they gave me a topic of the sneaky chef comes the dessert. And so, I was like, well, I have some sneaky recipes, and we did that, too. We did, like, a show and tell. I showed pictures of some of the recipes and to see if people could guess what was in them, and then we gave out some of Steve's CDs as prizes, and it was a fun way to start off the presentation. But I wound up making a few new things that I hadn't thought of doing before, specifically just for this presentation, and one was cream cheese brownies with spinach, and they were delicious. You really wouldn't know, especially if you really swirled it in. I mean, if, you could leave a little green, but if you really swirled it in, you'd never know there was spinach in them, and they were so good. And then I started cooking desserts with, like, you know, beans, pinto beans, and so now that this project is done, I'm freer to include more other healthy and superfoods. And I share them on the website or talk about them or blog or things like that.
Very cool. Yeah. So do you think that you will be having a book number two?
I don't actually envision, because there's so much that we're doing that's spinning off of this.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to do a second edition at some point. And I like to offer the recipes through the cookbook and at different events that we're doing. So I think I'm going to share more that way. It was a lot of time to do this, and I think there are some other ways that I can be sharing food and health other than sitting in front of my computer for that many hours right now.
Trust me, sweetheart, I know.
Yeah.
All right, so give us an idea, and this is for both of you, so whomever is closest to the phone. What happened when this book was finished and it was published? You mentioned that there's so many things that have come out of this. What things have come out? Because the universe is just this amazing ride, so I always love to learn what happens.
Do you want me to go first and then you, Steve, or what?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. Well, like I said, I literally just took the message from the universe as do a cookbook, and I didn't think beyond that. And, you know, the universe knows so much more than we do. It's been a lesson and a journey for me. I've never been super comfortable standing in front of a lot of people and talking about myself or even any topic. And, of course, I've been put in situations like that Concord Food Co-op. There was over 150 people. You know, it was the first time I'd ever done that. So it's putting me out there and allowing me to share what I have. And do I still get nervous all the time? Of course. But it's really helped me to grow in that way, to help share what I have with others. Someone we met at one of our book signings told us about the New England Book Festival. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Yeah.
And it turned out that they were accepting entries for another month, and I sent my book in, and it won honorable mention in the cooking category. First time I've ever won anything like that. So that was great, and we We met all sorts of wonderful authors from all over the country with beautiful stories they shared about themselves. And it was just so moving. And again, I had to get up in a microphone in front of people, and I was thinking, oh, good, I'm near the end cooking. And it turned out I was the second person to go up, and I was like, oh, well, at least I get it over with. But kind of, you know, things like that of putting myself out there and doing more things that I had never really thought about doing.
Do you think that was the way, the universe's way of nudging you to really become more a part of it versus the physical form? You know how we're always talking about physical versus non-physical?
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. It's like, yeah, I didn't think about the PR and the promoting and contacting people and doing all the things that I've done before but never have been, you know, my favorite. And, you know, I'm really grateful because I've met so many wonderful people. And when we go to an event, and even if there aren't a lot of people, but one person comes up to me and says, you made such a difference in my life, thank you, I have hope now. I'm like, that's the best gift I could be given. So the universe gave me gifts, and everyone else gives me gifts. So, yeah.
Very cool.
We might want to talk a little bit about the kinds of events we do, because I find these very enjoyable. Of course, anyone who writes a book has to do book signings, but book signings can be kind of boring. And we try to liven them up because we have not only a book signing, but Marilyn makes samples from the cookbook, and then I play the music, so it's kind of an event. And we started by doing local libraries and bookstores, but we're also doing these events at pubs and food stores and universities and places like that. And it's something really different for people to come in and have some food and some music and learn something you know, all of it's free. These events are all free. You know, it's been a great experience for me. People say to me, "Well, don't you feel strange playing jazz and stuff like that in a bookstore or in a grocery store?" And I say, "No, it's more fun than playing in a noisy bar. You know, where people are drunk."
Exactly. Have you guys gone to the local farmer markets? Is that in your calendar?
We haven't, just because of the amount of people. You know, I'd have to cook so many samples. That's one thing.
Right.
I did do one demo, though, at a small farmer's market in South Berwick, and that was really fun. But outside of that, we haven't. But what we are doing that's pretty exciting, actually, yeah, in just about, I don't know, 10 days from now, huh, Steve?
Yeah.
We're actually going to be at a cooking school in Pennsylvania. I put together, and I never thought about this aspect, mind you, when I did the cookbook, but I put together a full-course menu for them from the cookbook.
Mm-hmm.
And their chef is going to cook all the courses, and I'm going to bring out the courses and talk about the courses and answer questions, and Steve's going to be playing music in the background. And it's a regular dinner, you know, like people have dinners here for nonprofits and things like that. So, you know, it's for couples, and if they want to dance, if they want to ask questions. So they get to meet the author, they get to meet the musician, they have a great meal, and they go home with a new cookbook. So we're really
Nobody
excited about
win.
That. No, and we're hoping to grow that around here. Because that's our first one. So that's another new venture that we're doing. And you want to talk about the other one, Steve?
Yeah, we've started a new branch of No Fret Cooking called No Fret Celebrations, and we had done this before where for friends, and we would go in, they would be having a party, and they weren't having it catered, but they were cooking the food themselves. So Meryl would come in and help with the setup and the serving and the cleanup and all of that. And then I would play the music at the party. And that way the host and hostess are free to just relax and enjoy their, you know, enjoy their event. We did something recently where we had a raffle and gave away a No Fret event sort of as a raffle prize. And so some people, the people who won the prize, were planning a birthday party in their home for two members of the family. So Marilyn advised them on the recipes for the event, and then we came in and she helped set up and serve, and I sat in the living room and played guitar while I had had dinner. It's turning out to be something that people really enjoy, because they can have a party without having to bring in an outside caterer and without having to do all of the setup and the cleaning and so forth. So no.
Where were you when I had my Christmas Eve parties? They used to run up to almost 40 people. I would have loved to have some ninja sidekicks.
We'll start
great.
It up again.
I will.
Yeah.
That's so cool. So we have about 12 minutes left to the show, and if anybody has any questions or wants to call in to talk to these asparagus caper-making collaborative music gurus of good, healthy nutrition without the fret or the sweat, it sounds like,
yeah.
Give us a call, 347-205-9443, and I have Marilyn and Steve Carter on. So do you have a calendar of events on your website? I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. We do.
You do?
Yep.
Okay, excellent.
Yep.
So people can hunt you down and find you and go, ha ha,
yeah,
I heard you have music and
please,
dancing asparagus.
And like our site, and there are recipes there, and there's music too, right, Steve, that they can get some idea of?
Yeah, there are links to all the music on the two albums. They can listen to any of them.
That's the one thing I should have had you do prior to the show, is send me a couple of MP3s so that we could rock out. next book, no pressure.
All right. Well, Steve will send them to you after. How's that? Then you can have them in the kitchen with you.
That's right. What other adventures are you going on?
Let's see. What else are we doing, Steve? we're going to do the... We were invited to be at the New England Food Show. That was really interesting.
Oh, that's a big show, too.
That's a big show, yeah. And we'd never been to it before, so that was really cool. Bookends in Winchester has a big author corner there. And
uh-huh.
They had another local author there. And they also... Regis Philbin spoke that day, and they had his books, too. So there were the three of us there with our local books, and that was pretty exciting just to see everything. It was huge.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, and then we're just recently invited to do a food health fair at U of Mass Boston. They're still developing their program. So we're not sure what it is they want us to do, but they want us included. So we're open to whatever. We just go with the flow. And I love the title of our book, because we always say to each other, "No fret," and it really is true. If you kind of just remember that, then everything's good.
Very
so
cool.
We're also going to be taking part in. Winchester Town Day, Bookends is going to sponsor us there, so we'll have some food out on the sidewalk, and I'll be playing some music for the their street fair for Winchester Town Day. It's coming up in June, I think it is.
Oh, yeah, and June we'll also be at the Woodman Museum in Dover. They're going to have their first event. It's going to be local artists, and I think they're going to have the farmers market there, too. So that should be a really neat day.
And that's Wyndham?
It's the Woodman Institute.
Oh, the Woodman's in Dover,
yeah, on
right?
Central Ave in Dover, yeah.
Yeah, Dover, New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
cool.
Pretty grounds, very nice. So, yeah, and somebody actually mentioned to us that they go to Virginia, and they said, you know, it's a real arts community down there. You guys would have fun. And we said, well, get something happening, and we're there. So
right.
We're open to travel. We're, you know, we're open to other possibilities. We love doing nonprofits. We love helping with parties. We love helping people learn about food and hear music and just enjoy good living.
Yes, locally also we're going to be doing something at the Spaghetti Stain in downtown Dover. It's a restaurant. And we're going to be doing an afternoon book event there. And I'm going to be playing there on May 4th, a Saturday night. And he's agreed to just sell our book in his store, in his restaurant. And so we haven't worked out the details yet of when the book signing is going to be, but it'll be one day in May during the week. So it'll be posted on the events page on nofreightcooking.com.
Very, very cool. Last question that I have for you, and in this one I'm shooting over to Steve because, you know, your wife is so shy. We haven't heard anything really from you. Your inspiration for the tunage with this book, was it during eating or when she was describing the food? Like, did you eat it and then go, oh my God, and your brain started popping like popcorn and, oh yeah, this is going to be great, and G Key and, you know, Mad Hatter musician guy? Or was it, you know, kind of premeditated?
No, it was usually after the having the meal. For example, the pepper poppers, that wasn't really, we didn't have a name for it. It was just some kind of roasted peppers. And of course, it was delicious. All of her food is delicious.
Thank you, sweetie.
And then I came up with the idea of pepper poppers, and after that, she decided to change the recipe slightly so that when you roast these in the oven, they actually do make a popping sound. And so that suggested to me, first of all, the pepper idea suggested Mexican music, and the popping suggested drums. So I wrote a very elaborate, I have two sets of drums in the tune, and they kind of have a little drum battle in the middle of the tune, one in the left speaker and one in the right speaker. So I had to notate all of that drum music. So it was very exciting for me to take the concept of popping and translate it into music. And that's how it happened with most of these songs. She would prepare a dish. She made mac and cheese one night when our friend was over, and our friend said, oh, yeah, that mac and cheese is really stellar. And that made me think of Stella by Starlight, so I wrote a tune based on Stella by Starlight called Stellar Mac and Cheese. So, yeah, the music was inspired by the food.
Very cute. So I'm imagining that being, you know, a musician and basically a guy, you're really trying to encourage her to make another book so that you can continue your guinea pigness. Yes?
Oh, yes. But I'll give her a little break. So, you know.
No pressure. No pressure, Meryl.
Phew. Oh, boy.
Well, there's still 200 recipes in the book, so I'm not sure I've had. Of course, I don't eat the meat ones, but there's still, you know, dozens in there that I haven't tried yet. So I didn't get to try all of them.
Well, you know, if you happen to see this lanky redhead at your front door with an empty bowl.
You'll be more than welcome.
Thank you. Just make the asparagus. Yum.
All right. So, I'm making a note.
Mental note. Feed the lanky redhead. This is a great place while we wind up your part of the show to give us your details one more time.
You can find us on www.nofret, so it's NOFRET cooking.com, and you can also find us through our publisher, Infinity Publishing, at www.buybooksontheweb.com. And
very cool. God.
All around.
And all around.
And all around, yeah.
Are you at Nature's Way as well?
Nature's White. You know, we haven't gone there.
Yeah, go see Kim. She's
go
pretty
see
groovy.
Kim? Oh, yep. Okay. Awesome. I will. I love that store. It's just
I do too.
We haven't gotten in that direction for a while. Yeah.
And
okay.
I can't remember who it is over at South Berwick, Nature's Path. In South Berwick.
Oh, so those are two different ones?
Two different ones. The
oh,
one in Dover.
Isn't it
Nature's Way in Dover?
The Herbal Path. We're there in Dover.
Nope, not Herbal Path. The one over by the big Catholic church next to Week's Pizza.
Oh, Dover Health Food?
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Much easier there.
Yeah.
Dover Health Food, are you there?
we're not. I mentioned it to them and I don't know. It
hasn't
know.
Happened yet. Yep, it'll happen.
Yeah. So, word will get out.
Very cool.
Yeah, but thank you for that suggestion. I will go talk to Kim. That's a great idea.
I'd like to sneak in another plug here. We're not doing a book event, but I'm going to be playing at Philbrick's Fresh Market this Saturday and next Saturday from 1 to 4 with my old friend Danny Harrington, a saxophone player who I knew from the days of teaching at Berkeley. And, of course, Marilyn will be there listening and hanging out, and she'll have a copy of the cookbook with her. And there's a nice place, there's a little cafe there where people can sit and listen to the music. So if people are out doing their shopping next Saturday or the following Saturday, they can come by Philbrick's Fresh Market in Portsmouth. And as I like to say, shop and bop.
That's right. You got to shop and bop. Until my oldest one became a teenager, I was able to shop and bop. But when she became a teenager, it was more of a ask me for another thing and I'm breakdancing. So, you know. My 7-year-old's good. She's really good because she shops and bops with me. Wow.
Oh, great. So, that's so fun.
Philbrick's, for those of you who are local, it's the Philbrick's on Lafayette Road in New Hampshire, right after the traffic circle. You guys know where they are, just to ring bells. Mm. And so, Steve, when you finish your exciting new CD, feel free to send me some MP3s and we'll plug them for you. It'll be fun.
All right, good. Thank you. Yeah.
All right. And Marilyn, that second cookbook, you know. No pressure.
Am I? You're the third person who's mentioned it, and I'm like, I keep telling people no, but people keep telling me yes. I'll wait for the universe to tell me.
Sounds fabulous. Oh, wait, I just got a text message from the universe that said Marilyn has to make cookbook 2.
Thank you, Rusty.
You're welcome, dear.
I'll dedicate it to you, then.
Oh, you're a goddess. I just want to be a guinea pig. Move over, Steve. You got the cat, buddy.
Oh, awesome.
All right. Well, I'm going to wrap up the show.
Well,
I'm very grateful that you found me, however that happened, and it happened, and it was fun, and it was great, and, you know, spinach brownies, I'm in for. I'm a girl from Miami who used to eat mole, you know, chocolate-covered chicken, so
wow. Yeah,
that
all
doesn't
right.
scare
so,
me.
So you're now in Somersworth, right?
Yeah.
At a bridal?
Yep.
What's the name of that store again?
I help LaBelle
so
at Bridal.
I can find you? LaBelle? Okay.
Yeah, yep. I'm there Saturday afternoon, so.
Saturdays, okay. So when I have a free Saturday and I get to make my brownies, we'll come visit you.
Oh, hook me up. But I'm gluten-free, so there's the twist.
These, I'm pretty sure, were gluten-free. I'll have to look. But if not, I can do that.
All right. Sweet. Fat belly.
I remember you were gluten-free. Yes.
That's right. Great stuff.
All right.
Well, have a beautiful afternoon. The sun is trying to peek out here in the Seacoast area, and very grateful that you found me and we were able to have this talk. Everybody go out and check out the nofretcooking.com website. And for those of you who throw parties, crazy parties like I do, they also have a no-sweat website. No fret, no sweat. I love it. Good stuff. It's a T-shirt in the making.
Yeah. I think so. Well, thank you so much, Rusty. This was really great, and I'm so glad the universe brought us together.
Many blessings to you and Steve.
Same to you. Have
thank
a great
you.
Day.
Take care. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
So it is possible, but my fantasy did not come true. They did not pop out of the book. Maybe in 5 years we can encourage Marilyn to hologram herself and dinner will be served and music will be played without having to do anything. That, to me, is a perfect fantasy. Very grateful to have had Steve and Marilyn on today, and that was fun. Great couple, great collaborative spirit, and creativity galore. You can just feel their energy, how creative, and how the universe just lines up in such a perfect way, perfect time, perfect place. I'm inspired to actually go make lunch. I think the asparagus is calling me. So I bid you all adieu. And remind you that next week we're going to be speaking with author Carolyn Floor. Her book is Heaven's Child, and she was a divorced single parent with three children, and one, I can't tell you any more than that. I'm just going to leave that as the end. That way you tune in next week and listen to Carolyn's story. It's a beautiful journey of motherhood, bravery, strength, and putting your family together after tragedy. So tune in next Wednesday at 1. With all my love, you are beautiful. I love you. You're fabulous. And thanks for inspiring me to have this show. Living and Thriving is brought to you by you, for you, and I get to enjoy the ride. So many blessings to all of you, and happity humpity hump, and I'll talk to you next week. Welcome to